Hi, Michael.
Hello.
What fascinates me about your article is the fact that you've had this incredibly varied career, and you've, you know, and we document the fact that you've shown up at the school in Vermont, and that you've been in actually University of Vermont, and now you're at Dawson and you're teaching, and I'm sure that there's all sorts of negative aspects of having taught in so many places. We find one positive aspect, and that positive aspect is the fact that you've had all of this exposure to information technology through the various schools who have done it. My question to you is, if you had been in one school, do you think it's inevitable? Do you think you would eventually wind up doing almost the same stuff? Do you think that we're all driven to it? Or do you think you really were just the beneficiary of a lucky chance?
Well, that's a good question. It's a good question, and I don't know what the answer is. I think, on the one hand, yes, because there seems to be a general drive towards using technology in the classroom, especially as, you know, our students now are all born in this generation where, you know, communication and technology is so instantaneous and so available that, you know, to completely ignore it might be, you know, we'd be risking not tapping into what they know to connect what they know to what we want to teach them.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, but, you know, whether that would be done in 10, 5 years, I don't know. And there's all kinds of institutional realities. One section of college might be doing something faster than the other. So in terms of my experience, I think it's very fortuitous that I happen to be at various places at the same time. So I can see different colleges on different paths to degrading technology. So I think, yeah, I'm lucky in my sense, but I think even if I were just at Dawson, at some point, someone would probably come along and say, hey, did you try this, or did you try this, or whatnot. And with, of course, Raphael Scapin being who he is, and Dawson switching over to Moodle, I think it would probably come to the non-credit division sooner or later anyway. A little bit of both.
Do you foresee using a Moodle in your non-credit courses at Dawson?
In the near future, no, but in the further future, quite possibly. It partly goes to the fact that the courses I'm teaching now are conversation, and of course I'm getting level one. So at level one, not only is it level one, but a lot of my students, you know, they work full-time and they're extremely busy, and so I can perhaps in the classroom, I can show them some tricks, but whether they'll remember it or have the time to really get the kind of basic familiarity with Moodle and the internet that they may or may not have is another question. For the higher levels of conversation, though, I think that if I were to get those courses, I never know which ones I'm going to get. If I'm getting level 4, level 5s, then I'd probably be able to implement it or at least give it a try a lot sooner, because a lot of these students will be very internet savvy, and they'll be very skilled in English, much more skilled in English in level one, so they won't have that impediment to trying out various programs. So, and then again, the writing courses, Moodle too, could be very useful for writing courses, which I don't teach at the moment. So.
Right. How would that be useful? What would be the difference between a speaking course and a writing course in terms of Moodle?
Well, I mean, the best way that conversations work is if there were, you know, if there was some verbal interface with Moodle, if a student, you know, if they had bought headphones with a microphone like you have, and there was some sort of interface in Moodle where you could somehow design activities that involve speaking or typing and then playing what you just typed or something like that. I'm sure that stuff exists, and that's kind of what would be very good for them to have. But again, and although writing supports speaking, a lot of the time, sometimes you just want, I get my students to repeat dialogues a lot. And so I, you know, you just need a piece of paper or I put it on the screen and I have them go over dialogue structures. A writing course where they actually get to learn how to write paragraphs and they learn a lot higher grammar, or, you know, then Moodle, especially with that video you had showed us where you can pre-program certain basic errors to pop up whenever they're committed.
Right. That was just to fill in an information point for people that are listening to this. That was the article that we did by Nicholas Walker.
Yes. Okay. No problem. So that, again, that would be great for writing. And then, you know, there's a lot about Moodle I don't know, and a lot about Moodle for ESL that I still don't know. So provided, you know, if I come across stuff by reading ProfWeb and stuff like that, quite possibly there could be some aspects for conversational English that could come up. And again, I would just say the higher the level, the easier it will be to integrate some of this technology. Because it's one thing to go to, I teach my students, even level one, they can go to dictionary.com, type in a word, and forget reading the definition, but they can just get a pronunciation for that word.
Right.
So if they're studying or doing exercise and they come across a word and they're just really frustrated, how do I say it? Is it a long A, a short A? Oh, go to this website, type in the word, and press the icon. You know, very simplistic things. I wouldn't necessarily want to give them too much of the software side of things and have to navigate that in the middle, because it's only a 40-hour course. It's quite short. So
right.
If it were longer, that'd be a different story too. So I have to consider, I don't want to be too sidetracked in getting people familiarized with Moodle and how to do this and the other. And then if they have technical problems, then we can get into trouble and then stray from the objective of the course. But I think in the higher levels of conversational English, and the more I know about Moodle, the better I'll be able to explain things and do it faster. I think there's a lot of growth potential, to use a kind of a stock market term, you know, in that area.
Speaking of growth potential, and I think we can almost leave off on this. I looked at global modules, and I looked at the interface, and I guess the question I'm asking, is that Moodle-based?
I don't know, and I plead ignorance. I don't think it is, but it seems just to me to be a kind of, you know, chat forum software. But, you know, I could definitely be mistaken. I'd have to do a little more research. I know Champlain has not been using Moodle as a CMS, and again, they're reviewing their options now. As we speak, there are webinars being given by all the major corporations to Champlain. So I don't know if they would have been able to, well, Moodle is free anyway, but I don't know. They probably would have consulted with someone, you know, a paid company to have that software put together, but I don't know for sure.
I'd really like to thank you for bringing us up to date on this. And,
no problem. Oh, my pleasure.
Bye, Michael.
All right. Bye-bye.